Good morning and welcome to the Baseball Card Strategy Show, brought to you by NoOffSeason.com, where you can get unlimited personalized advice to build your sports card investment portfolio. Get a free 30-day trial now at NoOffSeason.com. You won't be sorry. Our show today is brought to you by Graybo Sports Cards. They're a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Denny One-Time Dodson, and are located in the Arts District of Richmond, Virginia. Graybo Sports, the best selection overall in graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic, and a wide variety of wax. Listeners of the Sports Card Strategy Show can receive a 10% discount on any purchase at graybos.co by entering the code STRATEGY2023. Graybo's also now breaks on Whatnot and or Drip 5 nights a week, including baseball, basketball, football, and even wrestling breaks. Use the link in their Instagram bio at graybos_cards to get a $15 credit after your first purchase on Drip. Follow all of Graybo's news and updates on Instagram at graybos_cards. Don't forget, all the data that we use on the Sports Card Strategy Show comes from MarketMoversApp.com. Get 20% off MarketMoversApp.com today by using the promo code NOOFFSEASON. That's after a 14-day free trial. Use the promo code NOOFFSEASON at MarketMoversApp.com today. All right, gentlemen, let's hop into it. Lefty, I'm excited to have you here for our little first rendition together of the Baseball Card Strategy Show. How we doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Introduce yourself as the first co-host, bro.
Bang. Bang. Yeah, I'm excited to be here, man. Happy to have the baseball guru in the building, especially with the fantastic playoff season that we've had so far. And your Rangers making a serious run here. So what are you thinking about the playoffs right now? How are you feeling?
Well, after the series, the other series finished last night, I feel very good. I feel like we match up well against Arizona Diamondbacks. Honestly, I feel like we are a similar team. There's a lot of comparisons between us and the Diamondbacks. So the Rangers come in as favorites, which is crazy. You know, like come in as favorites to the World Series. I did go ahead and put a hundy down on them. I had like so. DraftKings just became available in Kentucky, and so I had like a free little bet or whatever, and so I was like, I'm gonna put it on the Rangers winning the World Series, dog. So that'll be really fun. But how about some love from the chat, guys? We got Evan Bell in here from our Monday show. We got Adrian, and then Crazy Old Guy just coming in. That's my pseudo name, by the way. Crazy Old Guy. We got Chad Gill breaking the third wall again. He never sleeps. He never sleeps on cards. He even, so I posted about I'm having a baby shower this weekend, and he even posted about like a thank you on my baby card on Facebook, or my baby shower on Facebook, and then said I should line the crib with Bowman paper because it's a lot easier to clean than Bowman Chrome. So Chad Gill, everybody, Mark Straczynski in here in the house. Morning, guys. We are here to talk about the greatest sport on earth, which Connor doesn't agree with, but he's here. Baseball Card Strategy Show. Most of this show, guys, is going to be basically where we are in the current market cycle, where we are in the current state of the game, who I would recommend, who I would recommend, you know, moving out of, et cetera, et cetera. But most of what we're going to do here is a reflection going forward of we work really hard at nooffseason.com to put rankings forward for you guys. And I believe that it is not only in y'all's best interest, but in my best interest to keep tabs and balances on why I'm moving guys up or down the list based on who you should be buying and making good profit on. So all of our lists are based on if you buy the number one player on the list now, it will be the highest percentage return in the next 6 to 12 months. So it's not based on a baseball card ranking or a baseball player ranking list, like MLB's top 100 list, their valuation or evaluation based on the different prospects is number one cannot straight up be traded for number two. So in their rankings, it is which one of them have the most trade capital value in the open market. That's kind of how they are doing it. That's how they do it at justbaseball.com. That's how they loosely do it at MLB.com. I don't want to go into that right now. But then our rankings are strictly based on profit in the next 6 to 12 months. There is a top tier, which we have highlighted on the graphics on our website. And then the other guys are guys I think you can make plays on or are on the list because they are going to move up in the list in the next couple of months when some guys hit the MLB, et cetera, et cetera. We also like to do, our formula is always sell at the call-up. We always want to get that right, especially with baseball. Now, with other sports, it's different. But with baseball, we at nooffseason.com, we sell at the call-up, and we never recommend you holding unless it's vintage. So there's, you know, like, for instance, Evan Carter is blowing up in the playoffs. But we have recommended that you have already have sold Evan Carter. And so Evan Carter probably, now this is a different argument, but I believe there will be an also a rebuying season of Evan Carter because I think he'll win the Rookie of the Year next year. But that's a different discussion. That's not for today. So what I'm asking is that we indoctrinate ourselves with the mentality that we are going to sell these guys as soon as they get called up. Now, every once in a while, these guys will re-enter the list if they get called up and they immediately go back down for a period of time. There's a guy on our list right now, Matt Mervis. Matt Mervis is on our list and has made his MLB debut, but he kind of poo-pooed all over himself in his MLB debut. It was up for like a week, and then they went back. He went back down underneath where the Cubs really needed him to do more development. He wasn't quite ready. So after talking with Chad and some other people, I think Matt Mervis will re-enter an opportunity for when he gets called up into the big leagues this April. I think he will have another spike because I think he'll be ready this time. Does that make sense, Connor?
Yeah, good stuff there. And one thing I want to note with our rankings is Lefty's putting in a ton of time to these, and we're currently updating them on a monthly basis. So the beginning of each month essentially is where you're going to see all of our changes. And right now, if you look at some of our top guys, and Lefty's going to get into this in a little bit, they've already seen growth just in the last month alone since Lefty's moved them up on the list. So it's important to try to follow closely at the time being for the beginning of the month to see where those changes are to kind of optimize those profits, because you can still get in on these guys and they still kind of have a runway to make profits. But I mean, Lefty's making some good calls here that are almost seeing instant growth. So we'll touch base on that in just a second. But I just want to make everyone aware that that's kind of what our schedule is in terms of when everything gets updated and where you're going to get the most bang for your buck in terms of investment period time.
Yeah,
but Lefty, we can go ahead and hop into some of your top prospects to invest in right now if you're ready for it.
Sure. You want to move into playoff update, I guess, since I just explained the – all I did was explain the criteria with which this show and I probably will do that at the beginning of every show because I don't know who is coming. You know, a live show could be – somebody could be following us for years and somebody could be following us for – they just happen to catch it somewhere. So,
sure.
Yeah, playoff update right now, dude. Rangers absolutely destroying. But I also think for the card market, Corbin Carroll being on the other side is very interesting because he was a guy that before we really implemented the sell at the call up, I mean we had been toying with that, but until we went from the three of us being like, okay, we are not holding any guys after a call up, we implemented that after Corbin Carroll got his call-up. So I believe Chad and I and maybe Paul had some Corbin Carrolls into this year expecting him to go on and win the Rookie of the Year. Now, he is going to win Rookie of the Year. I think it's like pretty much wrapped up. But there he is. I mean, he went 3-for-3 last night with 2 stolen bases and basically willed him and Ketel Marte have willed this Arizona Diamondbacks team to a World Series. They beat the Phillies, who took out the Braves, which are arguably the best team in baseball. So the snakes are alive, baby. Snakes are alive down there. I don't think we're just going to go out there and roll over them, but I think Corbin Carroll could not only, like, if his team ends up winning the World Series, which, God forbid, me go to a third World Series and watch the Rangers lose again. But if he does, Corbin Carroll could be a massive part of this team, and he could win a finals MVP, which would be even more crazy in his card prices. I have firmly moved out of every single Corbin Carroll card that I have. But I'm just saying, there are guys that are in this series that you can still make profit on if you have, for some reason, just blue-balled and held this entire time. So I am saying sell Corbin Carroll now. Like, don't wait for his finals MVP. That's a basketball term. But his series MVP, don't wait on it. But my series prediction is I think this will go six games. I think the Rangers will win at home in six games. I think that this series will be fantastic to watch. A lot of the ratings will probably be down because it's not two super teams, but I think that this will be the MLB made changes in the way that the game is played this year. They got the pitch clock. They did some rules with stealing bases and things to help the game be more exciting. And the two teams that are in the World Series are two teams that are heavily benefiting from those rule changes. They looked at the rule changes and they said, we are going to exploit that rule change. For instance, both of these teams are slayers in stolen bases. They both just run the bases like crazy. They both have very, very strong speed-related games, and they both have incredibly defensive outfields. And so they are strong teams that are defensively ready to go. They are fast. They have power. They both struggle. If they both have a warning sign, it is the pitching side of things. They are both been very good in the playoffs, but they both could have a couple of pitchers that are really young or really inexperienced and could explode. So that's my series prediction. I think we will see Adolis Garcia continue to go to another level. He is an absolute sell right now. His cards, I believe, are 187% up or something like that. So if I'm holding a player, here's his charts right here, Connor. This is Adolis Garcia's raw Bowman Chrome autos. He's in a St. Louis Cardinals, but this is over the last 30 days. He's up incredibly high, and I believe that this is going to continue to rise. 187% higher than it was. Like, that's ridiculous. You could get this guy for cheap because he is, I mean, that's a 2018 Bowman, and it's a guy that not a lot of people probably knew of or at least collected regularly. And so his Bowman Chrome Auto Raw is going for around $87 right now, which I still think is fairly cheap because this guy is in the same stage as Randy Arozarena. Arozarena is him and Arozarena are best friends. They are guys that, for instance, Arozarena's child is Adolis Garcia's goddaughter. And so these guys were both traded at like pretty much the same time from the St. Louis Cardinals. So thank you, St. Louis Cardinals, for giving us Adolis Garcia basically for free, and then also Jordan Montgomery. So that we gave them a World Series in 2011. Screw you, David Freese. But at the same time, they're a big part of our 2023 run to the World Series. So that's a guy that I would be definitely looking at if you are still wanting to sell and you have some of his cards laying around. I actually do have some of his cards that were in my Rangers PC that I got for about $10. And Connor, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm thinking about selling them. So,
Are you referring to Garcia? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been on an absolute tear. Right now we haven't even touched the World Series yet, and he's second all time to, I think, just David Freese in postseason RBIs in a single season. So, I think you're right, Lefty. I think we're going to see some serious fireworks, which is exciting for me. I'm not a huge baseball guy. So when I do get a tune, I love playoff baseball because it feels like every pitch is just so important, but I'm excited for this. I hope your Rangers are able to pull it out. Question for you, Lefty, as an outsider, if there's anyone that you're holding right, because I've been writing about getting rid of all your baseball players that are currently playing in the postseason to kind of mm-hmm. mitigate risk, mm-hmm. and go ahead and crystallize those profits. Is there anyone that you think's worth holding on, to see how they play in the World Series, or should people be dumping all their cards for players ahead of the first game?
Well, there's some tricky guys that I think could have more run in the future, but essentially this is the biggest stage. Essentially, this is the pinnacle of media attention. Even though this World Series might have numbers down because they're not, the Braves aren't in it and the Yankees aren't in it and stuff like that, I still think this is the pinnacle. Now, there are some guys that I would consider potentially holding on to, like Evan Carter, if I had more of him. I think he'll win the Rookie of the Year next year. So I think he could be a big part of this team going into 2024, winning the division series. The Houston Astros have a ton of contracts coming up, and I think that we will see their club be a little less dominant than they've been previously, which opens the door for the Rangers to just really just take a chokehold on this this division for a while. This team is really good, and they're really young. And so Evan Carter, maybe. DeGrom is, if you're holding DeGrom, he's been hurt. He is on this Rangers team, but he's not pitching. And so I wouldn't deal him right now for obvious reasons of him not being on the field. He will be like, he's in the celebrations and all that kind of stuff, and you see his face in there, but he's not pitching. I would, if you do have DeGrom, that's a weird investment to make, since we don't advise pitchers being an investment portfolio. But if you do have him, hold on to him. And then I might consider holding on to Max Scherzer because he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But those are different situations, and it's all situational, and it's completely different than our typical strategy of prospect first investing.
Yeah, there's always some exceptions to the rules, so thanks for the clarification there, Lefty. Good stuff in regard to predictions. Like I said, I hope your Rangers can pull it out just for your sake. But let's go ahead and hop into kind of some of your top prospects to invest in now. Like I mentioned, we do updates at the end of the month, so we're getting near a new rankings list coming out. Where are we at, Lefty, in regards to who people should be investing in at the top of our list?
Well, I don't, you know, we can't go any further in this show without recommending that when you look at our list of top prospects, there is a clear top shelf of what we're trying to accomplish. If you look at the top four guys, and really right now it's the top three, essentially. I mean, the fourth guy is in there for a different reason, but the top three are these guys are almost can't miss, almost. And it's Jackson Holliday, James Wood, Jackson Churio. Both, all three of them, you're wanting to look at their 22 Bowman first prospect autos. Two of them came out in Bowman Chrome, and then one of them came out in Bowman Draft, but they all came out in 2022. So actually, absolutely stacked year of card production, because these guys are all going to be incredible players. James Wood, I would think, or probably is the most risky of the three, but also has this hit. The price is built into him as well as being the most risky. But I am so solidified on him getting so much run with the Washington Nationals and people publicizing that he was in the Juan Soto trade. And he's tall, he's big, he's going to hit massive home runs. He's going to hit them 550 feet. Like, it's going to be ridiculous. He's just a big dude. And he's going to play like a guy that's going to get media attention. So I think James Wood is up there for us, strictly because, not because we think he's going to be a better player than Jackson Churio. Like, continually we've got to reframe our positioning in terms of, these rankings are not basically who is better than the next person above it. It is who is going to be the best win financially over the next 6 to 12 months. And I believe James Wood's price differentials between Jackson Churio are why he is at the second spot, not because I think Jackson Churio is worse than James Wood. Now, additionally, now that I've said that, Xavier Isaac is in this threshold as well, because at the start of this month, Xavier Isaac was so dang cheap. Like, this guy is a absolute mammoth. He comes out in this 2023 set. I would assume, just like forecasting a couple of 6 months or so, Xavier Isaac becomes the number one investment for us at the Sports Card Strategy Show, because of his positioning, because he's a little bit later, because his story is wild. I know we've talked about it a couple of times on the show, or in our podcast before, but this guy went from literally nobody knew his name when he got drafted. He was a first-round draft pick, and the announcers looked at each other and said, "Who? That never happens in 2023. Like, that doesn't happen. We have data on everyone, and the Rays were like, I'm going to go find this guy who's been – I don't know, was he playing baseball in, like, a cornfield? And the Rays were like, did they have him in an underground facility, like, so that they could just, like – I don't know. It just screams of the Tampa Bay Rays pulling a Tampa Bay Ray. But Xavier Isaac going to them in the first round, and then he was redemption autos – because I'm sure Topps was like, who do we send this guy? Who is this? You know, we got to get this guy's cards, and we don't even know who he is. So then he was a redemption auto with Spencer Jones in the 2023 Bowman set. And so everybody was just pulling him and be like, didn't pull Spencer Jones redemption. Guess I got this Xavier Isaac guy. And now Xavier Isaac is a guy who's going to be much higher on our list than Spencer Jones. And so, anyway, he can mash the ball. He's an absolute unit at the plate. I don't know where the Tampa Bay Rays found him from, but he is incredible and deserves to be in our top shelf portfolios. So,
lovely breakdown there, Lefty. Again, guys, we got the rankings live on the website. So if you miss anything here, just go check them out there. We've got players. We've got when they're expected to be called up. We've got what card you need. All the information that will help you guys out. I got a question for you, Lefty, real quick, regarding some of our top guys, some of our staple picks. You know, we've talked about Jackson Holliday a lot, and with good reason. He's been a good investment for you and the other guys that have invested in him so far, without him even being called up yet. But we've also talked about him having potential to see Ellie De La Cruz-type growth, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. If you're someone holding him, is he someone that you should – that would maybe break our rule of selling right at the call-up just because of how good we expect him to be like he has been at each level, or is he someone we stick to the process with and get sold as soon as we get that news of him joining the bigs?
That is a great question. I think personally, I will have enough Jackson Holliday by that period of time that I think I will hold a couple, because I will have so much margin on the ones that I do sell at the call up that I think I will be able to hold for that top 10%. So I think it's all based on what your portfolio management process looks like. And this is standard, you know, this is standard investments, not outside of, you know, we talk about cards on this show, but a lot of these principles come from any other sort of investing ideology. But basically, when you are putting together a portfolio and you have a large runway on a particular asset that is in the black, you can afford to get out at that 80% model and make 40% profit. So let's say you bought in at 40 or you know, not Jackson Holliday specifically, but say let's, for example, you bought a Bowman Chrome Auto at $40. It goes up to $80. You sell for a double. You know, that's, you know, you get out of it at $80 when you spent $40. And so, but we believe that that card will eventually hit 120, but the point is crystallizing the double that you have there and make the money back. We're trying to make at least as small as emotional decisions as we can. And so if you have 20 that are going from 40 to 80, sell 15 of them at that point and then hold to the 120 for the five, because basically you've already capitalized your gain there. No matter what, even if they come back down to 40, you can still get out of them at the right time. So that's kind of how we view it, is like, if you have enough of them that you can hedge your bet on the top end and wait for that top 10% valuation, then do it. And I think Jackson Holliday's cards will move insanely over the next couple of months. Here's something that I am a small bit worried about, Connor, and this is the first time I've actually ever talked about this publicly, and probably something that I will talk about pretty soon on the Sports Card Strategy Show, is there is a small bit of worry in me in regards to the top three guys. The top three guys, we are always trying to come to the plate and always retest our formula. We are never a set it and forget it type investor. We always know the market is continually going to change. We always know we're going to have to take a fresh and new look every year to investing, because the market is continually changing. And there are some things will stay the same and some things will not. But it is almost dang near impossible to find lots of Jackson Holliday, James Wood, Jackson Churio. I mean, we're having to like, we're having to be strategic in Facebook groups. We're having to be like, you know, there's not that many auctions online. Everyone is holding them right now. And so my fear is that everyone will go to the market as soon as April starts. Therefore, when that happens, it'll be a race to the bottom to see who basically can sell it for the lowest amount to get a crystallized return. Therefore, I don't want to be racing to the bottom with people. I want my card to be out there. And so what I am planning on doing is actually listing a bit earlier than everyone else with Buy It Nows to be the first to the market rather than competing with everybody to a race to the bottom. Now, that is something that I haven't fleshed out with Paul and Chad yet, and that's something that I definitely want to talk about. But I think because of the scarcity of auctions that we're seeing on eBay and other auction platforms with the number of cards that are out there for these guys, I think it could present itself with some people trying to just sell and just taking whatever they can get for them because they've held for so long. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And to back you up a little bit there, Lefty, you mentioned having concern for those guys, but at the same time, that's also a reflection of the recommendation that you're making, right? Like, people are holding on to him because they know what type of investment and what type of profits they're going to create in the coming months. So that's almost just like a product of the market, right? So I think it's a great strategy for you to try to get in early ahead of some of those other people that kind of have the same mindset as you. And I think our listeners should consider that too. Obviously, like you said, you haven't touched base with Paul and Chad there, but to me, I mean, it's basic market principles, right? So as the demand goes up for these guys and more, and no one's getting rid of them, it's going to be beneficial to try and hop out early before people start plateauing and your profits kind of start minimalizing there. So that's a lot of good stuff there, Lefty, and invaluable information for the listeners. And like the staples, obviously our top three guys are going to be those staple picks. Those guys we're very confident will make you returns when the news of them being called up happens, and their strong play leading up to the news as well. But with how the market, how you're discussing, let's kind of hop into some flyer picks that might not see that oversaturation and lack of selling in the market that people who already are invested in our staples can kind of invest in to try and make some bigger profits while taking on a little bit more risk.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys. So let me walk through. You know, we've talked about the top three, top four guys. Xavier Isaac will have his day on this show, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on him right now. But I think if our first guy that I think could benefit quite massively being further down the list is at number five. Colby Mayo is a guy that's on this Orioles team with Jackson Holliday and getting overshadowed by Jackson Holliday, Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, all these guys just being on that team together that have had massive card evaluations. Colby Mayo had his Bowman Chrome first come out in 2021. His last sale was $81, up 88%. But right now, that's fairly cheap. He is a guy that is destroying baseballs. I mean, this is a guy that is maybe one of my favorite investments in the game right now. And if we go back a couple of months where Colby Olson and I had a baseball show on the Sports Card Strategy Network, we talked about stats and using fan graphs. And we talked about, like, okay, here's how we're going to basically find a good investment. We're going to find a guy that has this number, this number, this number, this number, based off no emotions, based off of exit velocities, and da 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 da. You can go back in our library. It is the last baseball card strategy show that we did. I sat there with Colby and he walked through how to find a good investment. And Colby Mayo came out as one of the top underrated investments that we could make. And then the rest of the season, he started to destroy things. I mean, this guy, he has had one bad season in the minors, but other than that, I mean, he is tearing the ball up. Earlier this year, he was at a 178 WRC plus with a 307 average, under 30K percentage with 17 pumps at AA. And AA, like we've talked about, is the first professional level where you really get to see if this guy is a professional hitter or not. Because some guys make it to AA and they're a professional baseball player. you know, like they're good on the field. They're average at the plate. You have good stock in them. You know, like it's like, okay, this is good. Some guys at AA become professional hitters. And when we become professional hitters, that's when you become on our list. That's when you start getting an asterisk next to you of like, yes, sir, this is where we want to be. This is who we want to invest in. This is how we want to go forward. Colby Mayo is the first guy on our list, even though he's number five. I believe he could be in that top threshold, and he's still not holding the value. Like, if you compare his Bowman Chrome autos between him and Jackson Holiday, it's massively different. Now, I know that their hype is completely different, and that's something that Paul likes to talk about, is like, I'm not investing in guys because I like them and then they're going to be all-stars and they're going to play. I'm investing in them because they have good hype, which is why he is still investing in Drew Jones, and I have told people, don't invest in Drew Jones. Because from a baseball standpoint, Drew Jones has not shown that he's worth the price with which he has it costs to invest in him right now. Now, he could still be a great player, but Paul is very right by saying Drew Jones's media presence will drive his card prices. You know, and Colby Mayo will not drive prices in his media presence, but he's a guy that could be a sneaky add to somebody's portfolio. And by the way, I want to reiterate yet again, we've talked about it a couple of times on this show. Most of our data that we are talking about is from a Bowman Chrome base auto raw. Now, if we say like a PSA 10 value, then that we'll try to make that explicit. But for baseball prospecting in general, you don't have to worry about, should I go National Treasure? Should I go Prism? Should I go Contenders, Optic, and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, you don't have to worry about all that. Is it just a rookie ticket auto? There is pretty much one way to invest in prospects. Let me underline, bold, italicize that word. In prospects, it is Bowman Chrome base autos. Or if you can afford, we always recommend, if you can afford to go higher on the scale in a numbered and get a numbered parallel, then do that 100%. But we are always, our first evaluation is always looking at the price of a Bowman Chrome auto, base auto. So another guy that we have seen go huge, do numbers since we started talking about him earlier this year, is Jace Young. I mean, Connor, you were telling me today, like, Jace Young is Josh Young's younger brother. I would imagine that he gets talked about at some point in the World Series, because Josh Young is at third base for the Rangers. Jace Young's moving to third base this year. He is a professional hitter. He has questions on the field defensively, but that doesn't worry us for card prices. He's a professional hitter. He's going to make this Tigers roster because he's good with some of the old guys in the room would be like, he's good with the wood, you know? So it's like, he's good. That holds a different context now, but all I'm saying is that is a saying in baseball. 2022 Bowman draft, his last sale is $72. It's up 75.6%. And we told you to get in on the $30 to $40 range. So if you guys have been listening to me and Chad talk about Jace Young, you are already seeing an opportunity to crystallize profits. And I am not going to ever discourage people from crystallizing profits. If you would like to sell now, I totally understand that. But at the same time, I think Jace Young is one of my favorites going forward. And I think in the next 6 to 12 months, you will see a better crystallization. I think his Bowman Chrome auto could be north of $100 here in spring. I think we could see another $30 or $40 on a raw prospect auto from him. I'm looking at his 22 Bowman draft Chrome prospects as something that I'm just scooping them up wherever I can find them. You know, I even bought a PSA 9 out of 150 the other day because I think, and I don't buy PSA 9s. And we've talked about that to length on the Sports Card Strategy Show, where I basically give my 9s away for free because I don't want them. But I bought a 9 of Jace Young because I believe his exponential profit will be so high that I will make such a return on a 9. And with it being a high or a low number parallel, I believe he's almost a can't miss as well. So we've got Jace Young, we've got Colby Mayo, and another guy that I think is rising up the list on a flyer pick that has definitely come down. We're going to talk about discounted players from previous releases there at the end, but this guy fits in that bill, but he's number 11 on our prospect rankings right now. Samuel Basalo, coming out of the 2023 Bowman Chrome First Prospect Autos. This is a guy that just recently, his prices are coming down right now, and it's because the Bowman 23 hype prospect, or the Bowman 20, there you go, shoes. Thank you. I knew somebody was going to keep me accountable. There's guys that are going to come down that don't necessarily deserve their prices to come down, but because their prices were so inflated from a new product coming out. So he came out with Ethan Salas, who we also believe is a good investment, but incredibly overpriced over the last 3 months. You know, we saw some Salas autos going base and like refractors for like over $1,000. You know, like that's like Jackson Holiday level. Like, I do not recommend you buy a catcher that's 18 years old for the same price that you could buy Jackson Holiday, who's the number one prospect in baseball. Like, that's just not smart investing, Connor. But these guys, as the longer that their cards become available and the longer that they sit in people's portfolios and people are like, you know what? Okay, the hype's kind of gone. I'll sell for 500 now. You know, like, I'll sell for 300 now. I believe that these two guys will come down. But Samuel Basalo is a guy in this system. The Orioles have another guy that they have that's worth investing in. He is a 19-year-old catcher first baseman in Double-A who is at Double-A, his first promotion to Double-A, Connor, and we've just talked about how that's a professional hitter standpoint. He comes out and goes at 220 WRC+. And WRC+, for those of you guys that are new to this, WRC+, the average player is a 100 WRC+. This guy is at a 220 per league average for himself. So he's 120% better than the other hitters in his league. And he's 18 years old. So he is way underage for that level. He's 120% better than everyone else at that level. And he's an average. I mean, it was a small sample size, but he was 467 average at Double A. Like, this dude's almost hitting the ball one out of every two times. That doesn't happen. Obviously, that will be a regression, but this guy is worth investing in as well. And we're seeing his prices come back to earth, as he was a guy that was taken out of a Dominican Summer League in 2021 by the Orioles. An absolute incredible investment that I think is somebody that will quickly rise up our rankings, and a guy that we will definitely see as 23 draft comes out in December. Basalo is a guy that I'm looking to get into on the cheap, because I believe that he will be a guy whose reflection of a previous release will help his prices come down into an almost can't miss area. And so Samuel Basalo is a guy that I can't wait to start grabbing as his prices come back down to earth. And if somebody out there is mad at me for saying he had very limited plate appearances at Double A, I realize that the 467 will come into a regression, but this guy hit 300 with 352 plate appearances at A ball, and it was 50% better than everybody at that level, and hit he had under 20% K rates with a high walk rate and 12 home runs in 83 games as an 18-year-old at High A. You know, he moves across the ocean, and he comes to America for the first time and destroys his first level. So, yeah, get at me if you're talking about small sample size and Double A, but take a gander at High A and Low A, and you will see that this guy has always been real.
Guys, this is why we have Lefty. Some phenomenal value there for the listeners. I'm going to ask you a question real quick, Lefty, kind of like an all-encompassing question. When we're talking about, now is the time to buy these prospects with the offseason coming up. Since we have that extended runway, is the play for people that don't listen to us as much, is the play to buy all of these guys raw and get them immediately sent to PSA since we have that extended time? Or what's the play here, and does it change from player to player, or what are you looking at?
You know, I think it does change player to player. There are a couple of guys that I buy basically one of One really nice auto, and I'm like, okay, you know, like that's my risk assessment with them. Like basically the further down the list, the more skeptical the investment is in the next 6 to 12 months. There will be guys that move off this list, and there will be guys that move up this list and become less of a risk. But, you know, as you look at our list, the further you get to 50, the more I would say buy one or two of those guys' autos and just set on them for a while. The further up the list, the more I'm like, you should be selling your couch and finding, you know, like finding pennies in your car to get more autos of these guys. So that is a super bad investment advice. Don't sell your couch. But I'm just saying you should be catching as many of these guys as you can. And what I'm trying to do is it's all cost related. We have a lot of people on our show that are like, wow, I don't know if I can afford a Bowman Chrome auto of Jackson Holliday. I mean, a raw one is like $500 right now. That's a big investment. And we know that that's a big investment. And what we're trying to say is, if you can't get up to a Bowman Chrome auto with some of these guys, do the same play that Chad is talking about. Try to collect as many Bowman first chromes as you can, and then do bulk submissions like we've been doing for Spencer Jones and Jackson Churio and James Wood. What we've been doing is collecting their mojos or collecting their first chromes, non-autos, making sure they're well, you know, like looking at them under a microscope and stuff, and then sending 20 of them off at a time to see if we can pop some PSA 10 chrome values. That is also a sneaky play that we are doing here at the Baseball Card Strategy Show. It is not only invest in auto and walk away happy. Now, that is probably the card that's going to get the best. It's going to lead the market. Let's just put it that way. The chrome cards are going to they're going to have residual gain from the auto going up in value. So the rising of the auto will rise all ships, basically, for that player. So like you could even sell a Bowman Platinum auto probably of Jackson Holliday for more in the spring than you can buy it for now. But we don't recommend you buy that card because it won't move at the same rate as some of the other cards. So yes, the rising water will raise all ships in that player. So for instance, you know, when we see 120% gain on Jackson or James Wood non-first autos will also have a residual rise, but we are recommending you basically we're recommending that you go with the sure asset rather than the sneaky asset. But there are people out there that love to be sneaky, Connor, and they love to be like, you know, I have $20 instead of $500, maybe I'll go and buy a Bowman Platinum Jackson Holliday auto and see if I can make $40 on it. That is a play. That's how we got here, ladies and gentlemen. You know, like you've got to have conviction plays. What we would recommend, what our heart is that the Sports Card Strategy Show and nooffseason.com and all across anything that we put out on this website, especially with Sports Card School coming up and things like that. So, you know, definitely want to drop a promotion for Sports Card School coming up. We're going to put a lot of work in that to make sure that people can go from having no idea what they're doing to making big wins in probably like a year, you know, like, and I think we will see how, as we explain how we got here, there are plays that Chad, Paul, and I like risked big on, and they ended up working. But there are also plays that we risked big on that did not work. You know, like I got bathed in some plays early on that I'm looking at Jared Kelenic and I'm just like, what am I going to do with this shiny card? I might as well give it to my dog. You know, but he ended up coming back around, but there were some big plays that we made early on that didn't necessarily work out. But we believe that we're trying to set you guys up to be what we're trying to do, essentially, what I'm trying to get back at, is what we try to teach you guys is to be self-feeders. We try to give you guys the a good enough standard and a good enough basis of investing to know how we do it so that you can go out and kind of have your brand of doing it. For instance, Farmer Joe is a listener of this to this podcast and invests totally different than we do. you know, Jeff Ulrich is a guy that's investing in things that I don't invest in. You know, he's primarily looking at golden auctions and stuff like that. I mean, it's just not a level that we talk about a lot, but we have provided content for those guys to be able to see our strategy and put together a self-feeding strategy based on how they are reading and receiving the market. And we've seen guys like Shoes and Janelle and, you know, and Ziggy and all these guys have massive wins that are not exactly related to the same things that we have said, but they've used stuff they've learned from the content that we provide, and they've been able to make their own wins. And that's what I'm trying to get at, is this is the way we're going to promote, but there are other ways to get wins in the Sports Card Network.
Yeah, I think that's a phenomenal anecdote there, Lefty. At the end of the day, we're trying to give you guys the outline, right? And can you follow the exact plays that the guys are making? Absolutely. But our goal is to get you guys in position to where your strategies are elevated because of the information that we're giving you guys. And speaking of strategies, I think as we transition into discounted releases, Lefty, obviously my knowledge is not at the level that yours is at, but watching the playoffs and keeping an eye on market movers, I've had an epiphany for a strategy that I think might be beneficial moving forward when we get to next year.
Let's go.
So
the Connor Barnett strategy show here.
Let's go, baby. I just want to, I want your 2 cents on it. So when we're talking discounted releases, we're referring to older releases. And when we've seen the playoff performances, like someone from Adolis Garcia, I know you pulled up his chart earlier, but for those that didn't get a peek at it, you could have bought his 2018 Bowman Chrome Prospect Auto, first Prospect Auto Raw, for like $25, literally less than a month ago. And now it's, like Lefty said, it's up like 200% nearly now. So is there a play there to look at discounted releases from older players that might be entering the playoffs in the future for some top guys? Because if they play bad, I'm thinking they're not going to see a ton of drop-off in their pricing. So the risk might be a little bit lower. But if they have a crazy breakout performance like Adolis Garcia has given us, I mean, we've seen his cards spike, and that could be a time where it actually makes sense to invest in guys that are already in the big leagues. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a play that that I tinker with from time to time. So I don't think you're completely lost in the sauce by, you know, suggesting something that's so asinine, you know. But at the same time, like, it's risky. I mean, there's 25 players per roster, right? And maybe 13 of them are, you know, players that are big names. And then, you know, then you've got which one of them is going to get hot. So it's a little bit of a gamble for sure. And it's not as surefire of an investment strategy as it could be. But I think if you looked at guys, I mean, like, look at Adolis Garcia. You could have done that with him. You could have done that with Ketel Marte from the Diamondbacks. You could have done that probably for guys. I don't know if you could have done that with Bryce Harper because he was already so high. Maybe like a Philly that you could have done that with, maybe would have been like Brandon Marsh or, you know, a guy like
Corey Seager.
Yeah, I actually did buy a Corey Seager card at the National, mostly because I just love him and he's my shortstop from my team. But I'm probably going to, if they win the World Series and he becomes World Series MVP, I'm going to sell that card because I bought it for like $15 and it's a 9.5 BGS. $15. I bought a Corey Seager Bowman first. $15, 9.5. And so that card's probably at least going to sell for $40-$50, I would imagine. So, yeah, I think that's a good strategy if you are willing to take the loss at the end. You know, like say you buy Adolis Garcia at $25 before it starts and nothing happens and the Rangers get bounced in the wild card, then you've just got an Adolis Garcia. You've got to turn back around and probably lose $5 or $10 in taxes, you know, or you just hold it and you just like looking at it, you know.
Sure.
But I think there is some sneaky plays there for sure.
Yeah, guys, just want to clarify again, that is not necessarily a recommended play. It was just something that I noticed when running through the numbers and wanted to get Lefty's 2 cents.
Now,
on
what I would do, Connor, and this is in your wheelhouse, that is a play that I would make in basketball. That is a basketball card strategy that I would do because there's less players per team and there's guys, you know, like, for instance, we saw that happen a couple of years ago with Grant Williams on the Celtics. You know, like, this isn't basketball card strategy show, but you are thinking in the right direction for some other sports, being like the marginal guys that get, that will have, you know, they'll pop off, you know, like, and then we'll see some of their residual gain from just their teams doing well. So
sure. Appreciate the feedback there, Lefty. But let's touch on discounted releases a little bit and talk about some of the guys that make our top rankings list that are maybe a couple years removed, that are likely on that list because they are a discounted release. And who we think you can profit on that's been in the minors for a couple of years.
Yeah. So the first discounted release that I want to talk about is a release no one is talking about, Connor. Literally no one is talking about this. But I will, Yoshinobu Yamamoto is on our list as a guy that's worth investing in, and he is one of the only guys on our list that is not, or he is the only guy on our list ever who has not been in the minor leagues currently. I believe this will be more and more of a thing to invest in as we go forward, as we're seeing Japanese players and Korean players become more and more desirable for the MLB. I believe that we will see more and more of their pre-rookie cards or what they would have considered as some of their Bowman first become available as they move over. So I think for these players, we will see two investment spikes for them. We will see when they come over, they will have a rookie in Bowman first. But before they come over, for instance, there are NPB cards, and the set that I'm willing to look at as a discounted release is Topps Chrome MPB cards. I've been able to get some. Of course, the Shohei MPB cards are incredibly expensive because it's Shohei Ohtani. But Roki Sasaki, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, there's a list of other Japanese stars that are going to end up over here a lot quicker than they have been previously. Previously, the rule is they have to play at least nine seasons in the Japan League before they can come over to the MLB, unless their team lets them go early because they see it as an absolute profit, you know, like, because the teams have to pay to even talk to the player, which is similar to how they do it in soccer. But you have to wait 9 seasons before you can get posted. You know, at the earliest, you would be maybe 27 when you become over as a rookie. You know, like, that's almost, you know, like, you're entering your prime already before you even get here. So, like, if they change that ruling, and if they change, I think the Topps Chrome MPB cards could be very good investments for certain players going forward. And so that's something that is on my radar of discounted releases. But they would be Topps Chrome releases. So Yamamoto is in our Topps Chrome MPB, and yes, he is a pitcher. He is the first pitcher that's ever been on our investment list just because of the wild things that he can do. We've talked up Roki Sasaki a lot, and both of these guys were very, very good in the World Cup, the Baseball World Cup, when Japan won and beat, when Shohei struck out Mike Trout to win the World Cup, which was absolutely incredible, by the way, incredible cinema. But Yamamoto and Sasaki were on that team, and they were both arguably huge names, but we talked only about Roki at that point. And Yamamoto has had better numbers this year than Roki has in Japan. And so this guy is a guy that I'm willing to look at as an investment class that is definitely a discounted release. Other discounted releases and players that I like from older stuff is Luis Angel Acuña. This is a guy that came out, I believe, in 2022. And you might have to check me on that one, Connor. But I believe it's 2022 Bowman. He had his first come out, and his autos were coming out in a Texas Rangers uniform. He was in the trade straight up for Max Scherzer and is one of the highest prospects in the Mets system right now. He's not even currently on our list, and he probably should be moved back into our list. But he's a shortstop that is Ronald Acuña's little brother. I mean, this guy is incredible, and he hasn't had a great season with the Mets so far. And you know, his first transition with the Double-A Mets, for Double-A Rangers, he was popping off. And he had kind of a rough transition to the Mets in the latter part of the season this year. So I would see Angel Acuña as somebody that you could get in on pretty cheap right now. He's a guy that I would be looking to snipe and looking to target if you guys could find good deals on Luis Angel Acuña cards. You might not be able to because his name, but I believe his stats are not reflective of who he is. I believe he's probably uncomfortable in his new setting, and next year he's going to tear the cover off the ball, and I want to be there when he does that. So Luis Angel Acuña is one of my first discounted players. Were you going to say something right here?
Yeah, he's actually 2020. So even farther removed me, and there might be even more of a discount there for you guys. 2020, I believe he came over in 2018 from Venezuela.
Yeah, so this guy's been around for a while. And right. he's the second Acuña brother. There's actually a third. Brian Acuña already has cards as well. So this is a guy that I could see making a pretty good profit on. And he's a guy that's he's a flyer. Like, just to be honest, he's not on our list. He could be a prospect that ends up not being who his brother is. And you could be, you know, living in inflated waters from the get-go just because of his name. But another guy that also has a big name is Carl Crawford's son, Justin Crawford. He is definitely going to be on our list in November. Absolute athlete. I mean, this guy is running all over the field, and he is a guy that I want to bring back into the fold of our sport card portfolio soon, because he had a pretty good showing this year. He's 19 in high A. We still have yet to see that double A move. And I like to see where double A does for these professional hitters. But this guy is pure baseball athleticism. You know, he's not the guy who's going to hit 40 home runs, but he's the guy similar to Evan Carter and Corbin Carroll, who's going to be speed, who's going to be ball flying all over the park. He's pushing it. He's pulling it. He's getting singles, doubles, triples, home runs when he can. He's going to steal a ton of bases. In 2023 at A-ball, he stole 40 stolen bases. And I think as the rules are shifting back towards a running game, we see the Rangers, and this is back to bookending what we talked about at the very beginning of the show. The rules have reflected how the Diamondbacks and the Rangers are exploiting speed rules right now that the MLB put in place. I think more of those players will be coming up through the minor leagues, and we will swing back from absolute mashers to ball players that can spray it all over the field and are five tool players rather than dudes that are just, you know, 300 pounds and they can hit it 600 feet. You know, I think we'll see a shift towards the Jackson Holliday type player. Corbin Carroll, Jackson Holliday, Evan Carter, these guys are all a different makeup than a guy like James Woodard and Xavier Isaac. I think those guys will continue to see rise as we see other players go out and do the things that they're going to do with the skill sets that they have, and there will be other players behind them that will get residual gain from the same type of makeup and profile. So I think Justin Crawford is a guy that I'm willing to bet on. He's fairly cheap because he was one of the lower prospects in that 2023 Bowman class. Correct me if I'm wrong again there, Connor, but I believe he was in 2023 Bowman along with a lot of other guys that were heavy on our list, and he's a guy that kind of fell off. I like Justin Crawford. I'm willing to put him back on the list starting in November. And then the last guy, we talked about Solis a little bit. He's getting a lot cheaper. He's a guy that I would is a discounted player once he returns to buying levels. I would say we can buy on him. I'm still a hold on him. Hold, you know, like, I don't know if you've seen that CarMax or that Carvana commercial where they're talking about holding for the right price. But Solis, Carvana, if you want to sponsor our show, go ahead. That would be great. But I wanted to talk about two guys that I'm going to move off the list right before we end here at the end. Two guys I'm moving off the list this year, or not because they're bad baseball players, just because we've got to be preparing for this 2023 draft set to come out that has some studs in it. So not Jefferson Cuero, but the other Cuero that's down on the bottom side of our list, we're talking about Edgar Cuero here, who just got traded to the White Sox. He's going to move off our list. I just don't like the profile there. And his last sale was down 30%. He's at $23. Probably still a guy that you could buy and make some money on. He's just not a guy that I'm willing to invest in pretty well. And then Justin Foscue, his last auto, Bumgarner auto was $30. That's a good range, I feel like, for him. I feel like he's going to come up and be a good player for this Ranger system or get traded in the offseason for another arm. But he has the bat to be there, but he's just like, he doesn't have the profile in the media to get up there. And so that's how I'm going to put, I'm going to pull both of those guys off the list as more guys move on, i.e. Justin Crawford and Luis Angel Acuña will be replacing them in the next top 50.
Boom. Awesome breakdown there, Lefty. As we round off the show, let's go ahead and take a look at some of the audience Q&A that we have coming in from our listeners this morning.
Absolutely.
Let's kick it off with Mark Drzinski. Mark has a Perdomo Chrome Auto Raw. Thinking of putting it on a 7-day auction, but Perdomo's not necessarily as hot as some of the other guys. What are your thoughts there, Lefty?
I love this play. Like this, I saw this coming through the chat, and I didn't want to bring up Perdomo as a guy that I didn't want to address this when it came across, you know, because that came across, you know, almost an hour ago at this point. But what I'm saying is, like, this guy is good. He made the All-Star team, but no one thought he was going to be there. And so you probably have so much margin in this card. Get that card out there on a 7-day auction. Absolutely, Mark. I think you're going to make a big win on a Perdomo Chrome because he's playing very, very well. He's a key part about this of this Snakes offense. And it's not a guy that they thought was probably going to be a superstar. And he's not going to be a superstar, let's be honest. But he is going to be a guy that's going to be a, one of these players that you could have bought early in the offseason for or early in the postseason for cheap. And now he's probably going to get a $30, $40 rise just because of the plays he's making. So, yes, absolutely sell that.
Yep, I like Perdomo, man. He's a good big-time glue guy for them, and he kind of has some of those intangibles that you were discussing for guys that we see or the play style that we kind of see rising in terms
yeah,
of quicker absolutely. Guys that get on base and kind of just do the little things that help you win. So hope that helps there, Mark. Let's head over to Janelle Hsu. Janelle Hsu is interested in our thoughts on grading autos. Seems like they have a low gym rate. Do we think raw autos typically pull in a decent profit?
I sell both. So on my channel or on my eBay listing, there are some that I don't want to bother with. For instance, like I have a 20 card submission building right now for stuff like this. It's a 2/250 Jace Young. The card looks immaculate. It's probably going to come back a PSA 10, and if it does, that card's going to bang for me. But I have some holiday cards that I'm not sure if I will. The question here, Janelle, is I don't think you have to grade Bowman Chrome autos for them to be profitable like some other cards. But if you look at the card and are very granular about it, and you think it's going to get a 9 or a 10, you will see a rise, and it will move quicker if it is graded. The liquidity of that card will be much higher. But do not grade the auto. Don't get an auto grade. Just get a card grade. Don't do the dual auto card grade thing. That's only for if a auto has not been authenticated. Don't do that. Every Bowman Chrome auto is an on-card auto that's already been authenticated. So don't worry about it. And some of them, you know, they sign them really fast. And so some of them have streak marks and stuff. And that'll give you a PSA, like auto grade 8, which will just make your card look worse than it actually is. So just don't, if you're going to grade them and you like the way they look raw, then I would encourage it. And it might be a little more expensive because of the card valuation than a $5 or $10 Chrome card. But just be smart in knowing your timing and don't grade the auto.
Good stuff there, Lefty. Let's stick with Janelle. Another question, are there any current players worth investing in at the moment? She says she knows we focus on prospects, but she's curious to see if there's any guys that we like for investing in during the offseason for next year's season.
I've talked a little bit about this, and Paul and I significantly disagree on this. But I am willing to take a risk on Evan Carter in the offseason. He has been an absolute stud for this Rangers team in the last month. And I believe that, well, if they win the World Series, then he won't. Maybe I'll have to rethink my strategy here. But Evan Carter is a guy that I would consider investing in the offseason because I think he comes back and wins the Rookie of the Year next year. because he didn't get enough plate appearances this year to win Rookie of the Year. So next year it'll be his true rookie designation. Another guy that I would potentially look at. Oh man, that's hard. I've got to think about it from a different like level now.
Lefty, while you think about it, Janelle, and that answer is another reflection of how important cell markers are for us, right? Like one of lefty's only exceptions would be someone that was recently called up, could potentially go back down. He won't with how well he's played, but could have potentially gone back down, and is someone that he's only comfortable buying because there's a clear sell marker of him winning the Rookie of the Year next year. So to answer your question, I think that prospects obviously are going to be a much more stable investment, but I thought of one. Go ahead.
O'Neal Cruz. O'Neal Cruz is another guy I would jump back in on. He was injured all year, and he is Ellie De La Cruz-esque. And he's a guy that I would continue buying because he's gonna be all over SportsCenter. So this Pirates team could make the same rise in the next 2 years as this Diamondbacks and Rangers team made over the last 2 years. 2 years ago, both of those teams lost 100 games, and so O'Neal Cruz could be the leading person in that clubhouse. And so, in some of those Pirates guys definitely would be worth investing in. And so that's my answer.
Yeah.
Yes. Caminero. Absolutely. Well. Caminero. Yes.
Good stuff.
Thank you,
there.
Thank you, Chad.
Rounding off the show, we'll stick with Dr. Crack. Dr. Crack's big on Tyler Black, second baseman within the Milwaukee Brewers, farm system. He's had a pretty good year. He's in .284, 18 homers and 73 RBIs, in 450 at bats. Where are you feeling on Tyler Black, Lefty?
Yeah, I like Tyler Black. I think he's a guy that was an interesting pull from when he came out, because he came out with Jackson Chourios cards. You know, so when Jackson Chourios cards were getting scooped, or when they were in Bowman Chrome, when they were in breaks and stuff, and people were hunting Chourios, they were getting Tyler Blacks, and they were mad about it, so they were just putting it up online. Tyler Black was going for super cheap. He was very, very, very easy to find for a long time. But Tyler Black is an absolute ball player. He's number 22 on our list right now, and I believe he makes MLB out of spring training. We have a little birdie that's telling us maybe that he will be. But he is – right now I have him on moving up the list in November, and he's already at 22. So he's already in the top 50% of our list, and he's going to be moving further up our list. So I like him. I think he's a guy that is not a huge big name, so he's not going to receive – the same kind of price evaluations, but that also means that he's not as expensive to get into. So yes, Tyler Black, thank you, Dr. Crack, as he comes in and loves on some Tyler Black. And Crack just can't get away from Brewers hitters, just like I can't get away from Rangers prospects. So
real quick, let's stick with Tyler Black one more before we head out of here. Lefty, Rusty and McGart has so many Tyler Black autos and cards. Are the Bowman autos or the Bowman best autos worth grabbing? They look great.
Yeah, I think this is another one of those things about, like, if you're going to get crafty about it and you're not, this is the same kind of thing that I was talking about earlier about the rising of the Bowman Chrome auto will raise all the prices for particular players' cards. I am not doing any Bowman Best or Bowman Platinums or anything like that, just because I'm trying to get super granular with my investment portfolio. Like, I'm trying to invest so specifically that I can't lose, that I'm not willing to take any of my money and put it in a Bowman Best. But I think you will be able to make money on Bowman Best. It's just not a play I'm going to make.
Bang. Good stuff there, Lefty. I'm going to go ahead and cue the rock music for us. Lefty, I had a fantastic time with you here today. A lot of good information for you guys. And I'm looking forward to doing it more often with you, Lefty. So for anyone listening this morning, we will be live on Whatnight this evening. Lefty and Paul Hickey are disrupting Whatnot, and myself and Chad, I believe, will be simulcasting over here on YouTube, Twitch, as well as Facebook. So hop in there today. Go ahead and watch Victor Wembanyama spend some time tonight carrying my fantasy basketball team to its first win in week one. Look forward to meeting with you guys soon, and thank you so much. Lefty, you got any last words for us?
Go Wembanyama, man. I'm excited.
Go Wembanyama. We'll see you, boys.